for all of our new people to the well. We'll give a couple of updates on some of our workers overseas who are transitioning. We'll do a budget update last year, this year. We'll talk about elder availability. If you want to meet with one of us, how does that work? Are we really too busy and don't have time? Is that true or false? So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about some of the men's events that are going on, kind of a resurgent men's events, which we're excited about. And then we'll finish with just talking about the beauty and gift of a cross-cultural and diverse congregation, and how do we lean into some of the challenges of that. So we're going to talk about that as well. Each of us will kind of lead one part of it, but we likely will chime in together as we go through it. And for our visitors, this is the elder team. So you may not know, we don't have a lead or a senior pastor, but it's a group of elders who pastor together. Equal in authority, differing in responsibility is what we say. So this is the pastoral team of the well. And to kick us off is Keith.
Can you hear me? There we go. Actually, outside of our agenda, I feel like I have to address something that's not been addressed in our agenda. When I was brought on, it was really to bring more diversity to the eldership. I'm here to represent non-glasses wearers all across our congregation. This underrepresented people group has been suffering at the well for some time. So as we explore more about our church, if you are also a non-glasses wearer and you need to meet with an elder, please feel free to reach out.
Actually, we needed to increase the diversity by adding a couple that was not bicultural, biracial.
Did you just call us the white couple?
I called you the token white couple.
All right, thanks for coming, everybody. Have a great day. We're going to wrap this up before we get ourselves in some trouble.
Wow. Okay. So let's begin. Oh, my goodness. So now I got to transition to the vision and mission of the well after that. In all my years, this will be the most difficult transition I've done. All right, so let's talk about it a little bit. I took a lot of this directly from our website. I am going to speak to it. But really, all of our vision and mission statements are based on Scripture, as Scripture defines for us the purpose and function of the church. So really, when we talk about our vision, it's about God and His gospel, right? Our vision begins with God. He is the beginning and the end of all things. He is has power over all things. And so we want to spread His gospel. So the first thing that we have to discuss is, what is the gospel, right? The gospel in and of itself is a Greek word, and I think most of you know it means good news. And truly, we're talking about the best news. The simplest terms is, it's the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our emphasis on the gospel is once again tied to the glory of God. God is a consistent God, and He can never violate His own nature. God is both just and merciful, and the cross, God reconciled His justice and mercy towards us. In His mercy, God sent His Son Jesus to pay the penalty for our sin on the cross. This was God's greatest demonstration of mercy and love and glory. Romans 11:36 says, "For Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen." So what is our mission? It's teaching gospel truth, joining in gospel community, and living on gospel mission for God's glory until the return of Christ. Beginning with what is gospel truth, when we get together here, both here on Sunday mornings and in community groups throughout the week, we get there with one goal. It's to discover more about the truth of who God is and who Christ is. That can be revealed in lots of ways. On Sunday mornings, it's revealed through the teaching that comes from here. It's revealed through worship that happens. How awesome was worship this morning? You can give it up for that. That was great. Josiah and Michael, that was just amazing. And that, to me, is just a preview of what it will be like to worship our Lord when we are finally reconciled face to face. That is part of living out gospel truth. Seeking what his word is to us. Let me tell you, if you have ever had the authority or the gift to give a message in front of the church, it is a heavy responsibility. So when we have that heavy responsibility, we meet together and dig in and find out who wrote it, when did they write it, why did they write it, and what does it really say? That is gospel truth. Gospel community. This is awesome. Church, if this is the beginning and end of your well experience, I love you, but you're doing it wrong. I can't think of a kind way to like lay that out, so that's just how I'm going to say it. You're doing it wrong. Throughout the week, in order to be refilled and refreshed and have iron sharpening iron, we meet together. We get together in lots of ways. We get together and play basketball. We get together and make craft cocktails and play video games. We get together and we study deeper into the word of Christ. We get together and we learn from each other and we work together. We eat large meals. You're going to hear more about some of that soon. We have these great experiences, but when we get together outside of this place, we grow closer to each other and closer to Christ. And those two things combined make for an amazing church. Okay? And all of that is to bring glory to the Lord. And then I'll just give you a full disclosure. My wife and I come from military families. My grandfather, my uncle were both retired Marines. My wife's brothers and father retired Army, retired Navy, retired Air Force. We know what it means to be on mission. And that's what we're called to as a church community. We are to be on mission, serving the Lord and serving others. So God has called us to be on mission. He does it in John 15, 16, Ephesians 2, 10, 1 Corinthians 12, 7. He's given us gifts, skills, training, experience, resources, and desires to be used in his service. Again, attendance at the well is not to be an end in and of itself. The work of the kingdom of God for God's glory is what we are called to give our lives to him. And how long do we do it for? Man, until Christ comes back and makes it all right. Amen? That's all I got. You guys have anything to add to that? Next up.
All right. As part of what Keith just shared, we have a point of emphasis for the next couple of years. We've talked about this a lot. This is something we started a few years ago where there was something in the an idea that we wanted to lean into more as a church, something we recognize we want to grow in. We may be doing it well already, but we want to even grow into it more. And so our point of emphasis for the next couple of years is the idea of blessed to be a blessing. So we came across that when we were studying Genesis chapter 1 to 12, and the reason that God blessed Abraham and called him and chose his people as the people through whom he would work through was for all the, quote, families of the earth, that the blessing wasn't just for him, but it was meant for the nations and other people. And so we've kind of, when we came to that, we were like, that should be our emphasis. For the next couple of years, that as God has blessed us as a congregation, collectively and individually, we want to take that and use that to bless others. I am inherently narcissistic. I'm very capable of making myself the center of everything. It's just what I do. I need continual rebuke and correction from Scripture, from the Word, from my brothers and sisters in this room, to remind myself it is not about me, and that what God is doing in me and how God has blessed me is for his glory, it is for my good, but it is also for the well-being of others. And so our heart is to lean into this for the next couple of years, to push ourselves to say, how have we been blessed, and to invest in others. So to challenge our congregation, in your life, in your families, in your school, in your neighborhood, at the workplace, how are you investing in other people? How is it not about you, but about others? How are you with blessing them in the name of Jesus, in the power of the gospel, with all the people that you're interacting with on a daily basis? So we're leaning into that by talking about it, like we're doing now, doing interviews with people about once a month who are exemplifying this. You remember last month, or this month, actually, we interviewed the Downings, talked about hospitality. Next month, no, the end of this month, we're interviewing Earl Fonville to talk about how he invests in people who are going through trauma through a nonprofit here in the city. That's what we're doing, just how are people doing this and how can we learn from them? So we invite you just to continue to lean into that and we'll grow in that together.
One thing that Keith didn't mention in the way of diversity that he brings is he is now the second extrovert on the eldership team. So, and he makes me look like an introvert. So this is just awesome.
So one of the things that we would like to point out, just as this is a good opportunity for that, especially as we have new people coming and going all the time through our church, is just to point out who are those who are on our leadership team. And that includes both here on the elders and those who are on staff and those who are deacons. So in case you guys don't know everybody's name, have we said our names? CJ Coffey, Eric Davis, Stan Cunningham, Justin Allen, John Rector, and Keith, whatever your last name is, Hill. Also, it's important to note that we're all married, and all of our wives are heavily also involved here at the Well. So do you guys want to introduce your own wives, or should I just say everybody who it is? I'm going to try to remember names up here in the spotlight. I'll just give it a try. So I'm going to start with my wife. I know her name, Jill Rector, over here. Amy Coffey. I'm going to make you raise your hand. She's over there in the corner. She totally doesn't like to get pointed out. Annabelle Davis, lovely Annabelle Davis. Ann Cunningham, behind Annabelle. Joselle Allen,
in the back,
also loves to be pointed out in a crowd. And Amy Hill. And so they are all invaluable to our team, actually incredibly invaluable to the work of us as an elder team. We are often and frequently using them as a way for advice. We share responsibility. We share a lot of things here at the Well. And so we can't really say enough how much we are able to do what we do because of their involvement in our lives. Let me just point out, we have on our flyer here, there's all the people who are involved here at the Well. So if you want to follow with me, you can pull that out. So it's important to note that we also have a couple folks who are really important for pastoral care at the church. And that is Jenny Severson. Forgive me. And Ashley Larkin, who's actually sitting over there by her husband, Mike. These folks are incredibly invaluable to doing pastoral care for women here at the church. And we've added them, actually been a number of years now and have been really great. Ashley's also on our staff team that meets weekly and shares responsibilities here at the church. So on the back, we have our staff team. Kevin Nichols, pastor of operations. Our newest member, Kelsey Cahill, administrator extraordinaire. We've mentioned Amy Hill and Keith. They do children's pastors here at the Well. Tim Beattie, what's that?
More her than me.
Well, yeah. Keith says it's obvious, you know, that Amy does most of the work. Keith just kind of tags along. Tim Beattie is our youth pastor. Michelangelo Wilson, wonderful worship pastor, worship coordinator, and we have then Ashley. Then our deacons team. So just first off, you know, biblically speaking, like we have two kind of clear roles that are set out. It's the elders and it's the deacons. The elders originally were kind of followed through on once Jesus resurrected. You had the 12 disciples became the first elders of the church, and then just practically speaking, found themselves overwhelmed with all of the responsibilities of all these people becoming believers. And through the Holy Spirit, it was revealed that they should raise up a set of leaders who just take responsibility over caring for the poor and for really kind of practical matters of the body, and to allow the elders to focus on teaching and prayer. And so with those two things, the deacons are to take care of everything else. And in that function, often that works out in our church as well. So I'd just like to name those invaluable folks. We have Carrie Anderson. And they're traveling. So Les Anderson as well. Brenda Dolan. She's sitting there back. Can you raise your hand?
Raise your hand, Brenda.
She's sitting over back there, third row from the back. There you go. Kelsey Cahill and Ryan Cahill are both on our deacons team. Stan Werta. Are you here? John Kaufman. In the back, and Brandon Wallace. Super helpful folks on our team, and they do a whole bunch of different things here. I can't even name all that is, but please meet with them if you're interested to find out what that is. Anything else you guys want to say about that?
I would just briefly say that if you have been blessed by the stability of the Well and the consistent faithfulness of the core team that you see here every single weekend, it is because of the faithfulness of those people that John just read. We are unusually blessed by the people we have in leadership because they let their roots go deep and they're here for years. So please do thank them, because we are blessed with stability and consistency because of their commitment. Thank you, all you guys.
I do want to add one thing in terms of what we think in terms of leadership. Like, we often think of leadership as a positional thing. Everyone who's been in those kind of positional roles have often been leading in a lot of different capacities. And I can't even name all the people who are leading in our body who don't have an official title. And then there are those who are leading every day in community groups and doing all kinds of other things, volunteering downstairs. And there is really, if you've worked in any kind of capacity in the community, there's two kinds of leaders. There's the leaders that have a position, and there are those that everyone follows who don't have a position but are clear influencers in what's happening there. And we are blessed with so many people like that. We have a plethora of giftedness in our body, and we're so grateful for all of you, of course.
And just real quick, I want to add as well, both the youth group and kids ministry have leadership teams and staff that are helping as well. And it's so, as a parent myself, being able to look outside of what happens in kids ministry and youth ministry, I'm so grateful for the people who come around and are a part of that. Kirsten Fowler for the kids ministry, Brian and Pamela, who are downstairs teaching our kids right now, Darren and Tracy Weedman, all part. Youth group staff, I don't know all of your names, but youth group staff, if you are youth group staff, will you just raise your hand real quick? These are people who are loving our kids well and consistently, and doing it unpaid. That's the other thing. It's a real sacrifice of time and effort and working really hard. And without the people who are such an influence on our kids' lives, man, would we be in trouble. So thank you to all of those people who put in that time as well.
Briefly, we want to just update you on a couple of changes with our workers. So we have a number of workers serving cross-culturally. Right now, including the kids, there's just under, or it might be at 40 Wellians who are out serving cross-culturally. That's, our church is only about 250, 300 people. So heck yeah to that, right? Let's keep it going. Maybe 50%. That should be our goal. Not really. Couple of transitions. We just want to let you know. Our longest serving couple, I'm going to call them K and S because of the security situation. Many of you know them. Served for many years now, 15, 16 in Asia. Because of the political tension there and the government crackdown, they have had to permanently leave. And so as you can imagine, that we sent them out of here in 2003. They have two daughters. They were raised there. That is home. But it has continually gotten worse and worse, continually brought before the authorities there, continually hassled. And they knew time was short. And so they sold the business that they've invested everything into and left quite quickly. So we do need to pray for them. They don't know what's next. They're taking a season of prayer. They're in the Middle East right now because Kay's parents live there. So they're with his parents for an extended period of time while they just try to figure out what's next for them. They might move back to Portland. They might not. They don't know. If you're financially supporting them, please continue to do so. They need the support in the transition, especially while they figure out what to do. We're continuing to support them. And as more information becomes available as to what they're going to do, we'll let you know. They're likely going to be here in the winter or in the spring for a month or two as part of their process of debriefing and figuring out what they're going to do. A great providential reality is we sent a team there in it was like 11 years ago or so to open up the hostel. So there was Stevie was on that team, Sarah was on that team, Chan was on that team, and then we had a team there when the hostel closed. We didn't know that was what was going to happen, but in God's wisdom, the well was there to open it, and the well was there when it closed. So we see God's faithfulness in that, and this has truly been a work that the family has done, but that our church has birthed. And so thank you and continue to pray for them. The other transition we want to let you know about is Becca Strangarity. Many of us know and love Becca. She's been serving in Israel. She is in process of transitioning back home to the States. She's been there now 4 to 5 years, served faithfully in lots of different ministries. There was a team that just went to visit her, her rope team. Stan was on that team with them to love her and got to help process with her and pray with her. For a number of reasons and a number of circumstances, she really feels like now is the time to transition back home into the next chapter of what that is. And she's not sure what that's going to be. She's looking for jobs. She's applying for different jobs. It will likely be back in Pennsylvania where her family is from, but that could change. There's a chance she might move back to Portland, but I would say from what I've gathered thus far, it's probably unlikely. She'll probably stay with family. She is going to come here probably in late spring, early summer, so we'll have about a month with her, and so we'll be able to pray for her and hear from her directly. But of course, if you're financially supporting her, we encourage you to please do so. We're continuing to financially support her. And the other one, which we've mentioned, but I'll just mention it as well, is Tiana Weaver. Tiana was just here over Christmas and shared, so I won't repeat what she said, but she has left Lithuania. She's now in Orlando for 10 months on what's called Stint, which is like a kind of a middle space for workers who are in transition. We're not sure where she's going to go yet. She's praying about that, considering that. So we'd invite you to pray for her as well. Thank you for your consistent support and prayer for all of our workers. We just ask you to really pray for and can encourage those who are in transition.
So I'm going to update you on our budget. This is one of those required things as part of our family meeting. But this time it's a real joy to be able to give this update. It was not that long ago, 6, 7 years ago, I had to get up in front of the church and inform everyone that we had 1 week's operating reserves. And so we were literally week to week surviving as a church. Who is here? Can you raise your hand if you were here when we made that announcement? Wow, that's awesome. So many of you are still here. But this year I get to give good news, and that's such a pleasure. So awesome. The slide up there. Okay, so for 2019, at the beginning of the year, we projected an income of $438,000. And you guys have been incredibly faithful and generous in your giving this year, and we exceeded that. Our actual income was $450,936. So please give yourselves a hand for your faithfulness and your generosity. Thank you to all of you. Our projected expenses were $437,340. Our actual expenses went over also, just like our income, $449,971. Now, one reason that went over significantly, let me read you a scripture. Bill Russell reminded me of this scripture a few weeks ago. Proverbs 3:27 says, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in your power to do it." This year, we went over budget in benevolence by $17,000. We had it in our hand to do good. The Lord knew what our needs were better than we did, and he made provision for that. But this year, we had people that had some need, and we were able to meet that need because of your faithful giving in response to the Lord. You know, if I was sitting up here saying, you know, we spent $17,000 over on elder travel or office furnishing or something like that, I would be repenting of going over budget. But here this morning, I want to celebrate that we went over budget and God met that need providentially. So thank you so much for your faithful giving and your faithful response to the Lord in your giving. Sorry, my phone just timed out. So for this year, what are we looking at for 2020? So our projected income for this year is $456,000. So that's a 4% increase over what we received last year. That's to inform you and also to challenge you. Our projected expenses this year are $454,740. Now, that is projected just like last year. That could be more. It could be less. You know, for those of you who have a financial background, you know there are fixed costs and there are variable costs. And so that's a projection of both those fixed and variable costs. There are things that are variable, you know, like in your home budget. You know, the cost of your mortgage is the same. It's a fixed cost. Your budget for, say, eating out is a variable cost. You can control it. You can adjust it up and down. So there are a lot of items in our budget, you know, elder travel being one of them, where if we don't have the money, we won't spend the money. But that's what we're projecting, and the things that we're hoping to do this year is an income of $456,000 and then expenses of a little less than $455,000. But just want to say thank you again for the way that you've faithfully given. We have a great operating reserve. We probably have, what, Kevin, 2.5 months operating reserve right now? Yeah, 2.5 months operating reserve. So thank you for giving faithfully. We're able to keep the doors open. We're not living week to week. You know, there's an old joke about how do you pay your bills. You know, you mark the ones, mark final notice, and throw the rest away. We don't have to do that at the well anymore. We have the means to meet all of our expenses, and we have the means to respond to the unexpected and respond when people have needs. So thank you so much for your faithful giving.
If I could just briefly say as well, there is the budget. If you want big picture numbers of the budget, they're on the table there. Please take one, and we invite questions. If you want to know, you know, how is it spent, if that's not another enough information, please ask us. Of course, we're keeping salaries confidential, but everything else we'll be able to let you know. Yeah, this is how we spend the money, and this is what's going on here. So please do let us know.
Yeah, if you want to go through the budget with more of a fine-tooth comb and kind of go through things line by line, Kevin and I are happy to sit down with you and do that. We just won't be able to do that until March. This next week, Kevin and I are gearing up for a trip to the Philippines, and we'll be gone most of the rest of the month of February. So if you have questions about the budget and would like to sit down and look at it in more detail, we'd love to do that, but it'll have to be in March. And Kevin says you have to buy us lunch while we do that.
I mean, we're controlling the budget, right?
That's right.
This is a good segue in terms of talking about elder availability. This is a question that came up earlier this year. How available are we? One of those features that's helpful is kind of take a step back and talk about who we are and what we're about here. So as you guys know, we do church a little differently here. You may have had an experience where you have an elder-run church. Most of us probably haven't. I certainly didn't. And so what are the rules, you know, when you have five guys who share the responsibility? And the answer is that it's a little bit complicated. Six. I can't count.
This is our first family meeting with six chairs on.
I can't count. I mean,
don't know my last name.
Just a little aside about me. I'm not like particularly detail oriented. This has all been a skill that I've had to learn. My wife's been instrumental in teaching me a lot of it. She knows that if I have a list longer than two, I need to have it written out, because after the third, it has to bump something else off in my brain for me to remember. And so. So I'm already like exceeding expectations by counting to six. We do things a little different. We're elder run here. We have none of us carry sole or overall responsibility over anybody else. We actually do share that evenly. We continue to work towards making that work out practically. But some of that kind of changes in terms of how our availability is. So number one, it's also helpful to know that we are bivocational or multivocational in some of us. And so CJ is the only full-time paid staff here, so he's the only monovocational one. Perhaps Stan would be considered monovocational since he's retired. But he's got multiple responsibilities to manage as well, not just as anybody knows who is already retired to realize you don't realize you had, you know, where did all the time go? You thought you'd have all this time and you're retired and you don't have any time. So I'm told, and I'm looking forward to that day. I work as a nurse at the VA. I work in a critical care unit, and so my responsibilities are split between here at the church, at my work when I'm at the hospital, and then also at my home and all the other responsibilities that come with that. Justin is a nurse, a director for MCN, and an elder, and like five other things, you know?
I think that's all.
That's all. Eric runs a business and runs his family and is an elder at the church. And then Keith is an elder and also runs Enterprise, for all I know. You know? And is connected to a million different people. So So we all have to balance those responsibilities with the kind of demands that come with this job. Number one, though, is that we are committed to this church. All of us have put 100% commitment to what we do here. And so we do want to say that we love you guys to the point we're willing to drop things in order to take care of you. There is also some boundaries. And the nice thing about being a multiple leadership is that we can share that responsibility and that we can consult with each other. So, I'm saying a lot here, but I'm trying to think out loud about what I'm thinking. So in terms of availability, I think it's helpful to kind of, when you have a question or you want to reach us, is to think of the urgency of what your question is. So one, if you have something that is an emergency, like sub 911, if you need 911, call 911. You know, I will not go and do CPR on you if you need CPR. I'm usually,
really?
Yes. I mean, if it happens here, I'd be happy to do it. I'd love to do it. I am built for that. I love doing that. But please call 911 if that is appropriate. Sorry, that's an aside. But most of us are available. If you on this flyer here, we have our numbers and our emails there. So most of us are available by text, if not phone call. I personally would prefer text, especially if I'm at work. It's kind of a black hole of responsibility over there that I can't usually pick up a phone. Often every hour I'm talking to 35 different people on a regular basis, so text is a great way to get a hold of me. I think all of us have text as a main way of getting communicated with. Our emails are available also if you want to email us individually. And then not on here, and we should add that, is you can email all of us at elders@swissmail.com. That goes to all of us.
.org,
sorry. .com probably goes to some Swiss bank account, and you don't want to have that. So .org, and that emails all of us. And that is a great way if you have a theological question or something you know you want multiple of us to comment on. And we do communicate with each other about all of those things, if not at the following elders meeting that we have, which is once a week on Fridays, or we do it by email or by text with each other, depending on how urgent the need is. You should know that on most things, we do consult with each other. Many times, I don't feel comfortable answering the question outright unless I have a really clear sense that I know what my brothers are going to say or what their thing is. Most of the time, I'd love to at least get at least one other or someone else in a comment on that. There are certain situations where it is a serious matter, and we need all of us to comment on that. Mm-hmm. Obviously, time and speed of getting a response to that might kind of be dependent on how serious the question is. That's kind of a convoluted answer, but I think that's the main kind of thing. I want to just say, like, if you have a question, please reach us. Please contact us. Don't hesitate in thinking you're too busy or whatever. If one of us is too busy, we will easily kind of pass it off to somebody else to deal with that, if that is something that is happening. Even if Justin's out of a country or whatever, just don't hesitate. We all share this responsibility equally, and we're here to serve you.
And I would say if it's an emergency middle of the night, call me first. I sleep with my phone out of habit from a previous job I used to have. So, but also I do that on purpose. So in the middle of the night, if you have an emergency, call me first. These days, you know, nobody answers their phone because of the robocall thing. But I would hear it. I'm a light sleeper. I would wake up right away and listen to the message. Then you could work your way around the so we, you know, we want, when it's an emergency, please feel free to reach out no matter what time of the night or day. And with the six of us, the odds are someone's going to call you back pretty soon. But I would say start with me. Okay, is that okay, honey? Yeah, she'll be sleeping right through the – she's an early riser, but when she's asleep, she's asleep. And I'm just not because we have a little boy that wakes up in the middle of the night and gets into the refrigerator. And so I have to listen to those. anyway, so please feel free.
Yeah, I was going to say the exact same thing about the availability. We are honored to receive a call at midnight and come and minister to you. It's kind of thing that when you get a call like that, you know, you don't think, oh, gosh, it's 12 o'clock at night and I need my rest. No, if you think about my brothers or sister is hurting and I need to go and take care of them right now. So it's an honor to come and serve anybody in this congregation at any time, day or night. So. Okay, and I'm going to talk about men's events. We've been blessed this year to have an upsurge of men's workshops and men's breakfasts, and it's not something that I was going to volunteer for, but God put it on my heart. Hey, there are some guys in this body that could use my expertise. You know, this year I'll hit 70 years old, so. So, and God said, hey, you know, you've had a lot of experiences that I've allowed you to go through. So share that with the brethren, you know, be a resource, an advocate for the men in the congregation. And I am so honored to do that for the guys in here to help you be better brothers and fathers and just be better people in your life. And I'm at the age, too, where, you know, I don't mind taking heat. You know, so if you're having a problem and I want to smack you upside the head for what you're doing, I'll do it. You know, hey.
So metaphorically.
Metaphorically, yeah.
Biblically.
Yeah, biblically, I'll smack you really hard. Anyway, we have a small group of guys that work along with me that do an amazing job in this men effort to support each other. And Tim Fowler, he's been a great right hand of mine. And also Brandon Wallace and Marvin Alvarez. And these guys have come alongside of me and pushed me and said, hey, you know, let's do this, let's do that. You know, let's bless the brethren in this way, or let's look at a project that we can do. So, and we're excited about where we're going with the men's efforts in this body. And speaking of Marvin, he cooks an amazing Woo! Breakfast.
Woo! And it's a birthday now.
Yes. Happy birthday to Marvin. And also, we want to sing happy birthday to Marvin. Yes, yes. Let's do it. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Marvin. Happy birthday to you.
Bethany Nichols' birthday as well.
Oh, Bethany Nichols.
Bethany House.
Yes.
Sorry about that.
Okay, let's sing happy birthday to Bethany. Yeah. Is she here? Is she still up there?
Did she run out the door?
She ducked out. No.
Okay.
Happy birthday to Bethany.
Yes. Okay, yeah, and we are excited about this coming spring. We're going to get into hopefully some service projects that all the men can get together. And we'll be doing some additional, not only breakfasts, but get together and just spend time together and pray together. This last men's breakfast, it was such a blessing to hear men open up and share about what's going on in their lives. I spoke on a topic of we shall overcome. And we were talking about the things in our personal life, in our spiritual life that we need to overcome. So it was great to be able to hear guys open up and say, hey, guys, you know, I'm struggling with this, or I need help with this. So and we had time to pray with each other, and that's our main goal, to provide an avenue to where we can minister to each other and build the body up through building each other up. So if you're not involved in men's activities, I advise you to get involved with it, because we're going to go places and have a great time in doing it.
We will also just point out that on the table over there is the small group community flyer, and there's lots of men's groups in there and women's groups as well. We're highlighting the men's groups today because the men's breakfast in particular hasn't been going for quite a while, so we're happy that it's resurging. But there's already a lot of ongoing women's groups that are meeting and activities, and you can find all those things in the small group flyer that's over on the table or on the website.
Well, I'll wrap this up, and I'm excited to just share on this. This area of the fact that we just are a eclectic group of people, right? From all walks of life, from all abilities, from all inabilities, from different socioeconomic levels, from different ethnic backgrounds. And so with that comes differences, right? And that's the beauty of the gospel, is where people can come together around Christ and celebrate, respect, and also respond to each other's differences. So in order to just chat real briefly about this, I wanted to first of all just thank you so much for embracing the ministry of Well Able. And for those of you who don't know, Well Able is a ministry that we have here to reach out to people in our families, in our community, or in our relationships with developmental disabilities. Of course, it strikes close to home for Annabelle and I, because we have our son, Eric Antonio, who has a developmental disability, and he's our little boy, and he will be with us forever as long as we can care for him. And so we call him our little boy for life, which is just a wonderful thing for us. And so Well Able, the way you guys have come and just embraced our Well Able people when they come, it's just been such a blessing. And I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I do want to introduce you guys to somebody new who's joined us. Is Abby, do you mind me pointing you out? Abby, can you raise your hand? Abby's just new to Well Able and new to the Well, and she is such a blessing. And her sister found us basically somehow by Googling this kind of ministry. And so we met her sister Zoe, and we met Abby. And so Abby's so happy to have you with us. This is like your third Sunday at the Well now, right? Or the fourth? The fourth. So please introduce yourself to Abby if you get a chance. But we're just so thankful that this church is so welcoming of anyone and everyone. And with that comes some challenges at times, right? And so I want to elders want to let you know, to empower you to set for yourself whatever boundary that you want to set for yourself. Let me give you a primary example. Eric Jr. has certain things he just expects. If you don't know Eric Jr., and I'm introducing you to him for the first time, especially if you're a lady, and I introduce you to Eric Jr., he will hold out his hand, assuming you'll want to kiss his hand. You do not have to kiss his hand. You can put up that boundary, okay? You just don't want to kiss this little boy's hand. And when you don't kiss his hand, the next thing he'll do is he'll go like this. Well, if you're not going to do that, why don't you massage my shoulders? You don't have to massage Eric Jr.'s shoulders. But you husbands, I want to empower you at home, the Eric Jr. style. You can be doing something else, reading a book. Just do this. Maybe your wife will massage your shoulders. And if you know him really well, as Reagan does, you'll have to massage his head until he falls asleep. Reagan man-sitted. Last night she calls it. She cared for Eric for us. She comes over and man-sits for us because Eric is a man. And so, we all have, as we come together, let's be honest, we all come from different backgrounds. And we all have certain levels of, like, personal space and things like that. And it is kind of challenging in a church community when all of a sudden all that collides here, right? And so I, as an extrovert, you know, I just love Sunday morning and I want to get with everybody. But I recognize that, you know, in talking to a few of you down through the years, that I noticed that, you know, maybe you were a little different when we met for coffee than you were on a Sunday morning. And you basically said, yeah, this is really uncomfortable for me, this type of environment. And that was really helpful for me to hear that. So the whole point we're making here is please put up your own boundaries with, if you don't want somebody sitting too close to you, just, you know, scoot along or move. And then if you don't want somebody hugging you, I'm a hugger, okay? But I wasn't born a hugger. I was converted by my wife Annabelle in the Guatemalan culture, right? And so, but that's not comfortable for everybody. And you know what? If you're not a hugger, just because you come to this church and you see a lot of people hugging, it doesn't mean you have to do that, okay? You be you. And you be yourself here, and you be who you are. That's, we want to celebrate those differences. We're not inviting you at the well to come into anything cultural other than to follow Christ with all your heart. And so we just want to let you know, please feel free. You know, if you're not a hugger, you stick out your hand and say, oh, I'd rather shake hands. And we could, you know, we could talk about that all day. It's a quite fascinating topic. I want to warn you that, you know, I also work with Spaniards. And after, well, let me back up. I really got the hugging thing, met my wife, and then I came to the well. And in the, man, you know, and I never got hugged by so many guys in my life. I'm like, well, this is different. And the other different thing, you know, I never had a guy tell me he loved me. And all of a sudden at the well, I had the brothers tell me they loved me. And I'm like, that was, whoa. I'm like, it felt so good, but so strange for me. So now, I love you, man, is what we say all the time. And so I'm thankful for that, but not everybody's comfortable with that. You know, I tell some guy, hey, love you, man. And they look at me like, okay, dude. You know, so I want to warn you. At the early part of May, I'm going to Spain in April for business. Well, in Spain, the Spaniards, they are hugging and kissing on two cheeks. I'll be doing that for 8 days. So if I come home and all of a sudden you've heard me say this before, forgive me ahead of time. If I embrace you and make a kissing sound in your ear and you're a lady, you think it's a little weird, email the elders. Why did... It's not because I'm doing it on purpose. It's out of a habit. And so at any rate, please tell me, Eric, I'm not comfortable with that, you know. So really, just be you here at the well. We want to celebrate everybody. And again, in particular, I just want to thank you so much for your support of Well Able. And we'll be talking more about that in the coming year, about getting inviting you to be part of our team and inviting you to join in and work with us with Well Able. So.
One, Eric, I'm uncomfortable if you try to kiss me. Let's just start there. Two, to speak to that as well, we do have some building challenges. As elders, I don't think it bothers any of us when we're speaking, and the kids' ministry gets a little rowdy. Matter of fact, we welcome it. I love when I hear our kids downstairs worshiping with so much energy that, you know, we feel the floor beneath us shake a little bit. Matter of fact, when I'm down there teaching, I challenge the kids to make the floor shake up here a little bit. So just be ready for a little bit of that. We have lots of families. Thank you, Lord, that we have lots of families and healthy families who are having lots of newborns. And newborns are adorable for a reason. They're a lot of work. And so, you know, if you hear an occasional baby cry, if you hear a little bit of movement, that's part of our culture because we are a family that looks to Jesus as our head. So just as you get here, the building is a blessing. I am grateful for every crack in the ceiling. I am grateful for every divot in the floor. I am grateful that Kevin Nichols holds the whole thing together with some duct tape. And yes, absolutely. And so as we do this, because of our building, yeah, there are going to be a few challenges, so that's just part of who we are. And as you join us consistently, I think you'll find it's part of the beauty of who we are as a church.
All right, it's my turn to close the service this week. I'm going to close with a scripture. I came across this in my Spurgeon devotional recently. Luke 10, beginning in verse 38, the story of Martha and Mary. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted, the King James says burdened, with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. You know, there's nothing wrong with serving the Lord. There's nothing wrong with serving. It becomes a problem when we forget to have communion with our Lord in that service. Mary chose to sit at Jesus' feet and just bask in communion with the Lord. Martha was serving, but she lost her focus on the communion that she was having with the Lord in that service. And this morning, we're going to come to the communion table. We also have baskets on the table. That's where you can bring an offering if you prepared one. I just want to go back to the budget again and say thank you so much for the way that you've generously given, and just encourage you to continue to hear from the Lord, listen to the Lord, and give as he leads you. But this morning, I want to focus on communion. And as we prepare to come to the communion table, I want to do something a little different. I want to take a moment or two. Let's just sit in silence, prepare our hearts, prepare our minds, set aside the busyness of the week, the business of church, the business of serving the Lord, and just really focus on communion with our God this morning as we come to the communion table. On the tables at the front of the sanctuary, you'll find bread, which represents the body of Jesus, which was broken for us, and wine and juice, which represents his blood, which was shed for us. I invite you now to come to the communion table, to take this moment to have communion with our Lord and with one another. Come to the communion table as you feel led. Please exit your row on the outside and return to your seats down the center aisle. Father, we thank you. We thank you that we can serve you and we can have communion with you. Help us in the busyness of our lives to keep that focus on you and to maintain our love and our communion with you, Father God. Let it begin now here at the communion table. In Jesus' name, amen.